Now, friends, we come to the third chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and the subject here is Christ is superior to Moses. We have seen that he's superior to the prophets, and we've just concluded the section where we've seen he's superior to angels. Now, having said that, in chapter 3, he begins, "Wherefore?" And this is another reason I feel Paul is the writer of this epistle. As we said when we were in the epistle to the Romans, Paul uses wherefore and therefore as a sort of a hinge or a cement to present that which is logical. Now, the wherefore is even more than that. The wherefore is to me like a hinge on a swinging door. It go back and forth both ways. Or it can be looked at as a marker when you come in on a freeway or come in on a main thoroughfare. The warning is look both ways. Look this way and that way. And wherefore looks back at what he's already said and looks forward to what he's going to say. So he begins with wherefore. Holy brethren, and I'm just taking these expressions up now as we come to them. Brethren would mean those that were Hebrews, like Paul. Paul was after the flesh a Hebrew, and he called them his brethren after the flesh that were believers. And they're holy not because of what they do, but because of the fact that the word actually means separated. They are separated unto God. They belong to Him now. Holy brethren. And then he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, the nation Israel had an earthly calling. All the promises in the Old Testament to the nation Israel had to do with this earth. He promised them rain from heaven. He promised them the fertility of the soil, bountiful crop. And those blessings were physical blessings, although they are spiritual. Today, the idea that anything physical can't be used in a spiritual way is wrong. And that's one reason that people don't like to have money mentioned in church. Well, what's wrong with it? Money can be used in a spiritual way. It's not very impressive to hear somebody pray for something and then not back it up with their pocketbook. You're going to pray for missions. I would suggest you give to missions if you want to make your prayer effective, because all that your prayer is nothing in the world but just a lot of wind escaping. That's all. It's spiritual to give. That's one of the things that a priest does, offers up spiritual sacrifices. Giving is one of them. Praise of our lips is something else, too. Now, when we say here, partakers of the heavenly calling, these are the brethren that had a earthly calling, but they have come up to date. They belong now to the now generation of those of Israel that have turned to Christ. We've moved into a different age. The writer to the Hebrews is going to make that very clear to them, that to offer sacrifices yesterday in the past was according to the Mosaic system, and it was right. But now it's wrong, because it's all been fulfilled in Christ, and now you have a heavenly calling. The earthly calling hasn't disappeared, but the earthly calling now has been changed for the heavenly calling, so that they are partakers of the heavenly calling. That is something that several Jewish missionaries in Israel tried to make clear to us today in witnessing to a Jew. We give the impression that he's got to cease being a Jew. I don't know why we got in that habit, but we are in that habit. Man still be a Jew, be a child of God. He now has a heavenly calling. We don't cease being what we are when we become a child of God. If we are a German or an Englishman or a Frenchman or an Italian, we're still that. And nobody's asked us to give that up. And the Jew is still a Jew. He's now come to Christ. He's moved along with the revelation of God. And He's partaker now of the heavenly calling. That's important to see that the epistle to the Hebrews becomes almost meaningless if you don't consider the fact to whom it's written and when it was written. Someone sent me John Wycliffe's Golden Rule of Interpretation. Now, John Wycliffe lived from 1324 to 1384. That was way back. And here was what he gave as the Golden Rule of Interpretation, and I still think it's gold and not tarnished at all. Listen to it. It shall greatly help ye to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth. My friend, you can't improve on that one. If you'll just take that rule of John Wycliffe and apply it to Hebrews, I don't think we'll get in any trouble at all. Partakers of the heavenly calling, that would be perfectly meaningless apart from these Hebrew Christians. Now, notice what he says. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, and I'd like to change the word profession to confession, Christ Jesus. Now, the word for Christ is not in the better manuscripts, and I think that some of the newer translations have made that clear. For that reason, I'd like to read it like this now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, that which we confess, Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, we're told to consider him. Now, this word here for consider is a very important word. It has in it the idea of the fact that we are to give faithful attention to this. We are to consider this in the fact that we are to give time to it. Very frankly, this is a very important statement that we have here. Consider. Spend your time thinking about him. Consider him. It's a very significant word, and it's one that we ought to recognize that it means careful, careful thought, and serious attention. It is one that we should spend a little time with. Now, he says, consider the apostle. The Lord Jesus was an apostle, and that's in the very various meaning of the word. Now, what does he mean? I don't think we need to read anything into this word at all. After all, what is an apostle? It's one who's sent. Consider the apostle. He was sent from God to this world. He's God's messenger. He's the revelation of God. Consider him. Now, he comes from God to man as an apostle. But he says, consider the apostle and high priest. Now, that's going to be the subject of this epistle. And for the moment, the writer to the Hebrews will omit it, and then when he comes back to it, that's all he's going to talk about. And we'll have to wait till we get to the fifth chapter to see that. But let me say this at this point. We have a high priest. We're to consider him. And a high priest is going the opposite direction from an apostle. Now, an apostle is coming from God to man with a message. That was a prophet. The prophet spoke for God to man. But a high priest, he's going on the other side of the freeway in the opposite direction. He's coming from man to God. He represents man before God. Now, he is our high priest. He represents us before God. And who is he? It's Jesus. Jesus. The man. Christ Jesus. Jesus. The emphasis is upon his humanity. Again, I want to say this. There's a man in the glory today, friends, and he represents us up there. I am very happy he's up there because we're told that he is an advocate for us. He defends us. He's on our side. He understands us. He understands me as no one understands me. I feel like sometime that when I talk to somebody and try to make something clear to them, I don't quite make it clear. I tried to explain to an audience some time ago the feeling I had when I was told I had cancer. And I saw, after I'd talked a couple of minutes, that I wasn't getting through at all. They didn't really understand my feeling. But you know, Jesus understands exactly how I felt. And he understands how you feel. And we're to consider this. We are to give serious thought to this, friends, and careful attention. We've got an apostle. He came from God, and he's our high priest. He went into God's presence for you and for me today. That's quite a wonderful verse, as you can see.